Send the letter.
Members, we're just two members short. One member short of a quorum. We have a quorum. Great. I'll officially call the meeting to order. Mr. Smith will note the roll. Representative Hamilton moves the minutes of March 27th, 28th, and 29th.
So moved.
All right. Thank you. Or anybody see any additions or corrections? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motions are approved as distributed. Representative Mack.
Yes, we will do that one. We will do that one.
Welcome to the committee. I'll move Senate File 1543 be recommended to pass. And members, the language of this bill was actually contained in Representative Abler's omnibus bill. But Representative Mack would like to move it separately as well. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Members, the bill in front of you is basically a follow-up to legislation that we passed last year, which creates a community paramedic in statute. Members, what this bill does is it determines who is an eligible recipient for community paramedic services under medical assistance. Members, it basically spells that out. This allows us to continue with the work we did last year, and I'm excited about this initiative as it will decrease total cost of care in our health and human services area and have shared savings. Members, with you, I believe in front of you the fiscal note. This will save $3,000 in fiscal year 2013, $7,000 in fiscal year 2014, and $8,000 in fiscal year 2015. That's basically what it is, Madam Chair, and I appreciate your support.
All right, thank you. Members, are there any questions for the bill author? I'm not aware of any amendments at this time, so with that, I'll renew my motion that Senate File 1543 be recommended pass and referred to the General Register. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Thank you, Representative Mack.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Leader. Leiter, I'm sorry.
Leidiger.
Leidiger. It's only Monday. I'm
Ernie. Ernie Leidiger. Ernie Leidiger.
All right. Welcome to the committee, Representative Leidiger.
Bernie Leader.
So, I will move House File 518 for consideration by the committee. It's my understanding that the A1-1 amendment is yours, and you would like that in order to put the bill in the shape that you'd like to discuss. Is that correct?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. All that does is change the effective date to July 1st, 2012.
All right, members, I'll move the A1-A amendment to get the bill in the shape the author would like to discuss. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The motion prevails. The amendment's adopted. Representative Leidiger.
I have another amendment. It's an oral amendment. It is... see, on page 7 of the bill, 7-3, it would be the date in which the report would come back from the various water authorities, and to change it from November 15th, 2012 to January 15th, 2013. The reason for that is that it coincides with another date of an environmental review that PCA is doing.
All right, thank you. Members, any questions on the oral amendment? Page 7, line 3, delete November 15th, 2012, insert January 15, 2013. Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The oral amendment is adopted. All right, Representative Leidiger, if you'd like to briefly describe your bill.
Yes, thank
in
you.
In particular, the fiscal impacts.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The bill is it's a county transportation streamlining bill. It does three things. It allows MnDOT to use exempt rulemaking process rather than expedited rulemaking process for the state aid programs for countywide transportation projects. The second thing it does is it directs revenue from the forest product permits and the special farm product permits to bridge inspections. and it's a special revenue fund. It's a fund which we used to have just exclusively for that, for these very heavy loads, and we want to go back to that. The third thing is it asks the various water authorities to come up with a plan to streamline the water-related permitting for transportation projects, so we have one single point of contact that the counties would use for their permits. So it's a good bill that streamlines the county transportation projects. It is a bill which is supported by the county engineers as well as the county supervisors. And the fiscal note shows the cost to the state at $35,000. However, we make money in the out years because of the streamlining. So the dollars spent are to pay for the time that it costs the various water authorities to come up with this, with a new way of doing business.
All right, members, are there any questions? Representative Wagenius.
Well, thank you, Chair and Representative Leidiger. I'm looking on, the numbers may have changed now, but 717, and you're talking about entities with oversight authority over water permitting decisions would allocate resources to accommodate a single point of issuance system. Well, this would be DNR, and their budget was for waters was cut by $4 million. So they don't have resources. They're operating. I don't see how they allocate nothing to do what you want to do. So that's one of my questions. How, when you assume that there are resources there, and what if there aren't resources there? That's my question.
The DNR, I don't recall what they had said. If I could use a little help here.
Representative Beard.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, we heard this bill in Transportation Committee sent along here because it was such a darn good piece of legislation. One of the things it does, for many years up until 2010, these funds went into the bridge signing and inspection account to make this all work. We're just putting it back the way it was because of some inadvertence action on the department's behalf. Money was diverted from that into another fund. We're just putting it back. To the second part of it, the water permitting process for transportation. This has been an initiative for several organizations for several years, specifically Representative Wagenius's question. One of the reasons that Representative Leidiger just amended line 7.3 to be January 15, 2013, because that is the day that the governor's own initiative with the Environmental Quality Board, Bowser, and several other water permitting agencies are to report back to him on how to come up with a single point of issuance for permits just like this. Actually, an insistence that DNR's funds have been cut, I think, probably just helps underscore why the governor's initiative and his executive order he issued actually right after he was elected, and why this lining up on January 15th of next year actually makes a lot of sense. It brings several things, kind of ties them all together, so that's kind of what this bill is about, what this portion of the bill is about.
Representative Wagenius.
Well, thank you. I'm all for efficiency, and I think that's good. A great idea. But you're talking about allocating resources when I just don't know where these resources are because of the water got the biggest cut of all. So that's one thing. And the second thing is I think that's a debate for the state, for the floor. Never mind. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Hornstein.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I have similar concerns to Representative Wagenius, and I've been on the Transportation Finance Committee since 2002. But many of you have been on that committee as well, and I remember that first year when we heard a lot from county engineers about their concerns around wetlands, and I get a little nervous about you know, this kind of language. We'll wait and see what happens in the report. But I hope this isn't just one more effort to kind of use streamlining under the guise of eroding environmental protections. And so, you know, again, I think it's just a report, Representative Leidiger, so I'm okay with that. But I really, you know, we've seen so many bills like this and so much, you know, erosion of rulemaking authority. And now we have, you know, this concern. So, again, we'll see what the report says, but I worry because this issue isn't new. And, you know, I think particularly when it comes to very sensitive wetland areas which permeate our state, we really have to balance that concern with, you know, the transportation issue.
Thank you, Representative Hornstein. Seeing no other questions or comments, I'll renew my motion that House File 518 as amended be recommended pass and referred to the General Register. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Thank you very much, Representative Leidiger.
Thank you, Member.
Representative Erickson. Welcome to the committee, Representative Erickson. Representative Garofalo moves approval of Senate File 946. And I believe there's also A11 amendment.
Madam Chair, there is the A11 amendment.
All right. Representative Garofalo moves the A11 amendment to address some of the concerns in the fiscal note and to get the bill in the shape the author would like to discuss. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. The amendment's adopted. Welcome to the committee if you'll explain your bill as amended.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, this is primarily a policy bill. It's an exciting opportunity for districts to form partnerships in the area of finance, program, et cetera. The reason I'm here, however, is a fiscal note was presented to me that requires a $25,000 draw from the general fund for what I would question as responsibilities of the department directly. And members, I'll refer you to Subdivision 2 on page 2. When the applications for these partnerships are submitted to the department, the commissioner will convene an advisory panel. And this advisory panel will do the decision making when it comes to who's qualified to participate in this pilot project. It is true the commissioner will do the selection, but I think we can see here that it's going to be the advisory panel that does the work. So I'm not sure why in 13 there would be a $25,000 payment out of the general fund to the department for that work. Furthermore, the department seems to want to watch every move of these pilot projects in their analysis, and that's not, you know, normally done, members. Normally, the department would be hands-off and let these partnerships take shape and let them submit their data to the department as the commissioner might request. And then an ultimate final report would be due in 2018, Madam Chair and members. An interim project report could be, you know, requested but or submitted to the Education Committee. But for the most part, Madam Chair and members, I think these are costs that the department can absorb, as I've stated in my amendment, because the work is going to be done by the locals.
All right, thank you. Are there any questions for Representative Erickson on her bill as amended? Seeing none, all those in Representative Garofalo will renew his motion that Senate File 946 as amended be recommended pass and referred to the General Register. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
No.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
Thank you. Last bill up, Representative Nornes. Oh, yeah. Representative Rukavina moves House File 2065.
I was hoping I could do that myself. I know. I appreciate the help.
Representative Nornes, I have a A17-1 and 2 amendment. It's my understanding you'd like to take the dash 2 amendment. Is that correct?
The dash 1 will not be offered.
All righty. Would you like to move the A17-2 amendment?
That's correct, Madam Chair.
All righty. Members, and Representative Norness moves the A17-2 amendment to get the bill in the shape you'd like to discuss.
And I can explain the amendment if
you'd
like.
All right.
It does three things. This amendment adds health sharing organization to the list of potential health care options, which post-secondary institutions could accept when waiving the requirement to purchase a plan selected by the institution. The amendment also provides clarifying language to the provision dealing with immunization records. That language recommended by the Department of Health. And finally, the amendment deletes the section codifying MNSCU's ability to access its own funds in the event of a state budget impasse. That was actually my bill, but we've heard from the governor's office, and he has indicated that he would veto bills that have to do with continuing operations if we have a government shutdown. So I don't want to put the bill in jeopardy, so we're going to delete that also.
All right. Thank you, Representative Norness. Any questions on the A17-2 amendment?
No.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, nay. The A2 amendment is adopted.
Madam
Representative.
Chair, I was going to state for the record that this bill does not contain any new general fund expenditures, requires no new appropriations.
Thank you. Representative Breinhart.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Norness, I just wondered if you'd say a few words about the textbook work group and its goals.
Representative Norness.
That's Representative Banyan's bill that's in our omnibus bill. It requires MNSCU institutions to compile course schedules for all course materials required and recommend it for each course. And they're to be made available on the website. And I don't know how much more information you need than that, but it's been an area that has had a lot of discussion, and I believe Representative Banyan has worked out any conflicts or concerns that are there.
And Representative Breinhart, Representative Banyan is in the room if you'd like to ask him directly.
Could I do that? I could.
Additional information.
Well, I was particularly interested in the expanded use of e-books, and so if Representative Banyan is willing to come and discuss that a little bit more, that would be great.
Thank you for being here. Yeah.
Thank you. Welcome to the committee, Representative Banyan. Representative Breinhart, if you'd restate your question for Representative Banyan, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Banyan, my first question was just to say a little bit about the overall goals of the work group, but more specifically in relation to the expanded use of e-books, what the group would be looking at and what their objectives would be.
Representative Banyan.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Breinhart. The work group was the result of conversation that happened between student groups and MNSCU. There was a decision at one point that they wanted something more like a task force, but after a while, Chancellor Rosenstone, our new chancellor, has been trying to develop these work groups to foster conversation between faculty, students, and administration. This textbook bill that I brought has actually given them subject matter for the first work group they would have. And one of the things they'll discuss within that will be whether or not e-books are a viable method for trying to control textbook cost.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Along those lines, I had heard some discussion from students in my district about open source textbooks. Could you say a little bit about that, open source materials in relation to e-textbooks?
Representative Banyan.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Breinhart, that's another area of discussion that's been an interest. I think actually maybe more of Representative Morrow than myself, but that certainly is an area of interest. I think that will be part of the work group's conversation as well.
Representative Gottwalt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Banyan, I want to thank you for including this and bringing it forward. As a father of two MNSCU students, I can tell you the hundreds and hundreds of dollars that these kids pay for books, and you look at the e-readers and so forth that all of us are toting around this legislature, it just makes abundant good sense to be doing this kind of thing and saving our students some money on their education. Thanks.
Thank you. Representative Slawik.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I don't, Representative Banyan, I'm not sure if this is your provision or Representative Nornes on page 3, the notice to purchase, 3.31 to 3.34. I find that a little bit inconsistent. So it says if there's a newer version of a textbook, then you have to, and I, as someone who teaches, that the course syllabus must be, include details provided by the publisher of changes between the editions of the textbook. So you could be virtually using two different textbooks, an older one and a newer one. All I know is students really like to be clear on what they're supposed to be doing and what pages they're supposed to be reading, and that sort of sounds like chaos to me. I mean, so you're requiring them to potentially use two different versions?
Representative
Banyan. Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Slawik. What this provision does is say if you are going to require a new edition of a textbook and you don't require an old you don't want them to use the old edition, that you provide students with some explanation for what's in the new edition. That information is provided by publishers currently to faculty and to universities through the Higher Education Opportunity Act, federal law passed in 2008. So that information already exists, but doesn't seem like, according to the students I speak to, who I represent in my district, a mechanism that HEOA would have to get that information from the university and the faculty to the students. So what this says is only for the times when you use a new edition of a textbook, that is 3 years, 3 years apart from the old one, that if you're going to tell them to use the new one and not the old one, give an explanation why. My example is I teach money and banking. During the financial crisis, there were money and banking textbooks written in 2007, 2008. They were simply superseded by events, and they weren't relatively useful. When in 2010 new textbooks were coming out, I probably would have wanted them to use the 2010 book and not the 2008 book. And the reason I would have given them was, well, this has information about the financial crisis. It's useful now, not before. And so it does encourage just simply better communication, I think, between faculty and student in terms of what the expectation is for the books they buy. Our students go out and they buy books and on Amazon and Chegg, some other of these places, and we're just trying to get better information to students on what books they'd be expected to buy.
Madam Chair.
Representative Slawik.
It makes sense to me. I mean, I teach public policy analysis as part of one of the books I use. And so they send you the new book as they're trying to get you to use it for the next semester. So often looking at how that applies and how that would work. It's interesting language. So thanks for bringing it forward. It seems to make sense.
Thank you.
Right. Any additional questions for Representative Banyan while he's here? Seeing none. Any other questions? If not, Representative Rukavina.
Madam Chair, I had a question about the Student Advisory Council, or as it's known, SAC. I see you're adding a student from the University of Minnesota, which is fine. It brings about more balance.
Right.
But I was quite involved when we set the SAC up after the merger, and what we were trying to do was make sure that within MNSCU the different missions were represented. That's why there's language that one of the students be from the state university system, a community college, and a technical college. Was there any discussion about making sure that with the two from the University of Minnesota that they represent two different missions? Because the university has several different missions, and the theory behind that was so that you would have a good cross-section. And it looks like you're simply adding one, which is fine. But
Representative Carlson, we did have a lot of discussion in committee on that change. And I think that for the most part, all students involved are okay with what this change makes.
Yeah,
Representative Carlson.
Yeah, I'm fine with it, other than it doesn't do like it does with the other system and clarify that different missions be represented. But if the students are fine with it, I've got no argument.
Sorry. Representative Kahn may have something to add to this.
Well, there was another amendment that was added in committee, which I think will really help us get balance, because this is not a very big advisory committee. think I've had classes in negotiations and strategy, which says that committees up to 17 would work. And we added the this language on 2.29, said that it's not limited to, so additional members can be added. I think, you know, the separate parts of Minsku are much more easy to figure out than the separate parts of the university. Do you want to do it by campus? Do you want to do it by graduate school, undergraduate school? This is kind of an undergraduate organization, the one that was added. Excuse me. Although I think, you know, but I think the ability to add other people too, it was something that will certainly help get balance on it if it's not balanced.
Madam Chair, we're also allowing the Office of Higher Education to be involved in making those determinations.
Thank you. Ms. Carlson, anything else?
No, I said if the students are fine with it, I'm fine with it. I just was interested in my question about different missions being represented. And the U of M does have different missions. For example, Crookston has quite a different mission than the Twin Cities, Duluth, or Morris would have.
All right, thank you. Representative Biskin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Nornes, on page 5 of the bill, I'm interested in section 9. Notice that you're raising the aggregate principal amount of Minsky revenue bonds by about 35%. Can you tell us the last time that number was changed?
I may need a lifeline. But 2 years ago, I believe, that's what I'm hearing.
And thank you, Madam Chair, Representative Nornes. So in the past 2 years, can you tell this committee what we've gone from what to what? And if this bill passes, of course, we're up to $405 million in aggregate principal. What was it just 2 years ago? Do you recall?
Mike, what was 300?
Representative Nornes.
I don't recall that the bill has $300 million in here, but it was a larger number than that,
Mr.
I believe.
Mr. Chair, or Madam Chair, excuse me.
Representative Rukavina.
Representative Biskins, you're looking at something that has caused a little bit of concern to a number of us, and I think since the turn of the century, and maybe I see Ms. King was here, I'm not sure, I think it was about $100 million or a little over back then. So in the last decade, it's been going up, and of course, it's the fund that is paid for by the students when they build a bookstore or a recreation area or whatever. And we did have a lot of discussion on it, and it does cause some concern for some of us because it's the students who are going to pay a lot of it.
Correct.
Any additional questions? Seeing none, Representative Rukavina renews his motion that House File 2065 as amended be recommended pass and referred to the General Register. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. There's no other agenda items, and the meeting is adjourned.